Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McRae. Tighter crop margins lead us to believe the machinery market is beginning to weaken. Is that the case, though? Machinery Pete discusses what he sees across the industry. We take a look at market sectors that are strong and others that show weakness. Plus, we discuss things to keep in mind if you are buying or selling tractors and equipment. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, and it's brought to you by ProFarmer. Start making confident marketing decisions with ProFarmer. ProFarmer's condensed style is designed to save you time while giving you the important information you need when making those important marketing decisions. And you'll stay on top of profit opportunities with ProFarmer's mobile sell alerts and easy-to-use mobile app. With spring planting here in most locations, it's time to get insights on marketing the grain you may still have in the bin, plus the crop you're putting in the ground. Start a ProFarmer free trial today. Visit tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com. If you follow Machinery Pete, it seems the last few years have been a nonstop stream of posts about the highest prices on record for just about any tractor, combine, or piece of machinery you can imagine. But with tighter crop margins this year, I wanted to see if he has seen the market begin to lose some of its record-setting steam. The answer is, it depends. And that's what we discuss. What's hot, what's not as hot, and anything we can learn from the history of markets that we should keep in mind today. Greg Peterson, Machine Repeat, joins me once again. Greg, always good to visit with you. Perhaps I will start here. It is springtime. People are ready to head to the fields, maybe already getting in the fields. Is that a good time or a bad time to be shopping for machinery? Or does this just nobody shop because they're all too busy? What do the records tell us over the years about spring planting time?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andrew. I'm about almost 34 and a half years into this business of compiling this data. And I think to me, there used to be a definite seasonality to it. So you're right. About the first week of April into mid-April would have been slow down time, and we would see auction prices begin to soften coming out of the busiest month of March. But honestly, the last 4 or 5 years and then through the pandemic and the course of the tremendous shift to online-only auctions, now I don't see any difference. In terms of demand, although with the caveat, I would say November, December, buyer demand to minimize taxes is still at the top of the heap. But other than that, well, we're still seeing a lot of good action here into early April. Our friends up north in Canada, they're about a month behind us, so they're getting into their busiest month. So lots happening out there.
Since it is planting time, let's begin with planters for just a moment. My perception would be that the inventory would be lower now because everybody has what they need. But if I think about wanting to purchase a planter, so I go through this season, I say, I need to upgrade or I need to buy or even look at new. Is there a good time to be looking at planters? What's the planter market doing, maybe is what I should say, in 2024?
Yeah, the planter market has been one of the kind of touchstones here the last month or so, Andrew, basically because, the last three years or so, used inventory on dealer lots got historically low. It was just kind of spooky almost. And so, of course, supply chain issues there. And for a couple of seasons, farmers really, dealers didn't have that big of an allotment. So you really had to jump in early. And that worked back down the chain into the used market. So we saw used planter values attain highs that I've never seen before. Always used to be kind of a sluggish sector in the used market compared to tractors and other categories. But this year is interesting because used inventory on dealer lots has been going up. I guess the number one thing I've seen are these large dealers just in the last month being very, very aggressive, pushing late model planters, large planters out onto the auction market. I was down your way in Palmyra, Iowa, or Missouri, on March to last week of March, there, 26th or 7th. Big dealer auction for Sides Trick and Nobi Partners. And I think they had 25 or 26 planters, late model planters. And auction prices have softened, but, have not definitely fallen off a cliff. So I think there was a lot of, folks getting that last minute planter, maybe a backup planter still, folks may be remembering the pinch there when their dealer didn't have an extra machine or whatever. And the other thing I'd layer on top of that is there's still strong demand, Andrew, for I'm seeing out there for kind of retrofit, retro-built planters. I know just, 2 days before we're talking here, it was an auction. Trying to remember where it was. I can't remember if it was Wisconsin. I'm getting older. I can't remember every single sale where it was, but they had a John Deere 1760 12 row, kind of an older rig that had basically been rebuilt, but it brought $61,000. So it's almost not even fair to call it that 1760 model because it's basically a new planter. And obviously at $61,000, there was a lot of buyer interest in that thing.
Do you see that a lot? I hear that a lot in the country and see that where people are basically just taking the frame of an old planter and putting everything new on it. So in a sense, they have a new planter. Is more of that going on? Is my perception that there is. But maybe that was because of supply shortage from a few years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely been going on. I think the supply chain mess and then that historic low on used dealer lots the last 2.5 years really drove it forward. I noticed, Andrew, it was to the point, I would say back in 18, 19, before the pandemic, so before commodity prices took off, and the farm market, used equipment market was just kind of steady. It was just decent. But when dollars were tight at that point, I was seeing a lot of interest in farmers, getting into that retro fit planter, retro precision ag, putting the components on it. So one of the places I would see it were two places. One, when the auction price would come in, I'd go, whoa, that thing sold pretty high. But then you get looking at the specs on here, like, oh, the seller poured a ton of money into that thing, built a new planter. The other place I would see it was out at farm shows. And I'm kind of data guy, so I walk around the halls of the farm shows, and I just try to pay attention to where the crowds are. And they were congregating around the, closing wheel, folks that, have anything precision ag to get on your planter. So definitely a ton of interest in that, and that's continued right on through now. And right now what we see is, if you want to buy a new planter or basically any piece of new equipment, it's got so expensive. It used to be about a 4% price increase every year. Now that just blew up through the supply chain mess. So now if you're looking, I need a 24-row planter, you can buy a new one and that costs what it costs, or you can, build yourself your old like new one out of that, older bar. So it's definitely a growing trend.
You mentioned the new equipment and the prices have gone up. We've had inflation, so perhaps they're going up faster than they have in the past. So what has that done in the equilibrium, maybe we say, between buying new versus used? How do you see that shaping up? Because when we had our last conversation, you said equipment dealers are, maybe we say, smarter than they were in the past, and there aren't as many of them, so they're not going to get caught with a lot of used equipment. So how's it playing out now so many months later after the last time we visited?
Well, it's a great question. It's one I've been kind of tracking 34 years now. So I guess, my head runs towards back to the Commodity Classic down in Houston a few weeks ago. We were down there, posted a YouTube video. Folks are friends with Deere. Of course, they came out with their new tractor, that 84,000-pound rig. What was it, 8.9 RX 830 or something like that. So I posted the video. We talked to the Deere person. Everyone's asking me, well, Pete, what's it cost? Well, it's $1.3 million. So as we were filming that and posting that, what I was curious about was, what is this going to do to the value of the 9RX 640s out there, the previous, largest Deere tractor or 620 quad on the red side? And see, here's where it gets interesting, Andrew, is because the price of new has gone up so much the last 1, 2, 3 years coming out of the pandemic there, we'll see an auction price, like two weeks ago, there was a sale in Kansas. It was on Purple Wave. It was a farm sale guy retiring, downsizing, and he had a 22 model John Deere X9 1100 combine with 107 SEP hours on it. And the sale price, it was $573,100. So when I posted that, I've been compiling auction prices every day for 34 years. So I've got like 2 million data points. And I look and I see, okay, that's the fourth highest auction price ever, $573,100. Now, when people were reading the post and kind of the story, they were like, oh my God, that's dirt cheap. Now, what they're comparing it to is the retail price of the new one, which again is, you know, that $800,000, $850,000, $900,000, whatever it is. Now, the metric I've always tracked for the last 25 years is the relationship between the hard cash auction price to the dealer advertised price. And what I found over the years, Andrew, is that normally it's 71 to 76%, the average auction price compared to the average dealer ad price, not new price, dealer ad price on the lot. And like the last few years when the market was so hot, this ratio, I call it our MPR, machine repeat ratio, it was up 85%. You know, you'd see something sell at auction for about what a dealer could get for it or more. Now it's going the other way. But it's not as bad as it was 10 years ago in 2014 and 15. At that point, I was seeing a 20 to 25% drop year over year on auction prices. Now, it's complicated because 573 might be way off of that dealer ad price, but it's a hell of a hard cash check to write for that combine on that day. It's almost $600K. So it's a dance. And right now, I think what's helping, or it basically hasn't fallen as much as it has 10 years ago. And I think the two reasons why it hasn't dropped as much yet, because one thing that you said before, dealers network is different now versus 10 years ago. There's way fewer of them, and they're way larger. They're capitalized different. They're being aggressive. So Sidus Stricker Novi pushed those 25 planters out 2 weeks ago, and there was a ton of combines on that sale. I've seen auctions with 30, 35, 40 combines this winter, this spring. So they're being aggressive. And then the other piece that people don't give enough credence to is just the sea change we've seen with online bidding and online auctions coming out of the pandemic. So now, guy in Alabama needs a sprayer, needs a planter, or whatever. He doesn't even blink. He just clicks it. He's buying one from St. Joe, Missouri, where you live, or Rochester, Minnesota, where I live. And 5 years ago, that wasn't the case. There was online bidding, but mentally, the farm audience hadn't got over the hurdle like, wow, that's 8 states away. So that supply chain mess the last 2-3 years, that pulled everyone through that window. And now we're on the other side. There's no going back. So I think those two things to this point are making used values hold up, frankly, a little better than most people think they are.
The used values holding up, and do we still have enough of what I think you may call old money or money that's sitting there that we have accumulated from some good years, and we haven't gotten to the pinch yet of what appears to be coming with much tighter margins on the crop side?
Yeah, that's super key, I think, right now. Because people are pinging me, Andrew, like, oh my gosh, these interest rates, that has to be just killing the used market. And it's like, no, actually, no. I mean, it's obviously a factor. And if you got to pay it, it's a humongous factor. But frankly, a lot of this stuff is being bought with cash, just like, you know, the farmland. People say, well, how are farmland values holding as high as they are? Well, they just are. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It means it's bringing what it's bringing. And that's what I've always loved about compiling auction price data, Andrew, whether it's machinery or land or whatever, it's void of emotion. It doesn't matter what I think, $573,000 for that X9-1100 combine. Oh, that's a steal. Oh, that's crazy high. It doesn't matter. It brought 573.1, and that's the fourth highest ever. And it's, you know, whatever, 72% of the average dealer ad price. So this old money, how long will it last? Common things I heard, you know, the sentiment has changed, obviously, and for a good reason. You know, price of corn and beans where they are, it would make you more bearish about the outlook. Now, that's valid, that mindset, but I deal in what you write the check for today on this whatever, this air seeder, this planter, this combine, this drill. And one of the things I heard end of 23, and I think bleeding into early 24, is people have maybe made their mind up like, no, we're good. Machinery-wise, we're good. But then, oh, well, that is a pretty good offer by that dealer on that low percentage. So they'll buy that, you know, a John Deere S70 combine or a 9230 case, whatever. So they're still able to do it. Now, will that hold another year, 6 months, 4 months? I guess that's, you know, day by day, we're just going to have to monitor the price levels and see where we're at.
And let's look at some particular markets. You recently had an article, I believe, on used tractors, and these were mostly from the kind of the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. And I believe you said that was perhaps one of the hottest parts of the machinery used market right now. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, we had, you know, it's kind of a high-end example, but a sale, I think it was last Thursday night. I was watching it. It was in Western Iowa, Kingsley, Iowa. A guy in over there had 10 John Deere 55 series tractors, so like 1990 models, 92s. And, you know, so obviously pre-def, they're not all mechanical, they're computerized, all that stuff. And you knew the sale was going to be hot, but, I mean, it was unbelievable, frankly. So we had a John Deere 4955 two-wheel drive that went over $100,000. It was $100,750. And going into the night, the highest I'd ever seen was $84,750. So you're talking about 16, 17K over. He had a 4455 that went for 95 and a quarter. You know, he set a record on a 4555. And then I found out later that it was actually another one that just brought 100K on a sale in South Dakota. So that's that old money. They know what they want. And so when that nice older tractor, whether it's, you know, 15 years old, 25, 35, low hour sharp, it's, there has been no slowdown there. In fact, it's almost picking up speed. And the echo around it is like, well, you know, it's pre-def, it's pre-tier four. If I want to buy this horsepower new, what's that cost? And then now you're drifting into that, you know, well, 6, 7, 8. I mean, it's big, huge numbers. And I think across our ag space, Andrew, it's kind of now a mindset where people are like, oh, if I could just find a nice MX-170 or that nice, you know, John Deere 4960, 8300. And when it shows up, man, it's just key bar the door. So I know we saw a record recently on a John Deere 8300. I think we had an 8410 that set a record by a ton here a couple weeks back. So it's the hottest segment out there.
Conversely, combines, a little weaker, or does it depend a lot on what age? And it always depends on that somewhat. But I believe you had written that maybe perhaps the combine market you saw softening a little bit.
Yeah, based on age, right? So the pre-def really good used ones are holding. And the smaller ones are holding. Now, it's sort of always been the case, but definitely some recalibrating values. And where they're really crunching is in that kind of 4 to 7, 4 to 8 year old range. So on the green side, if you would just look at the John Deere, you know, S600 series, our latest data at the end of 23 was showing that the average auction price on S690, S680, S670 had all fallen between 19 and 20%, really even. Now, interesting there, the smaller one of the bunch, the S660, was actually the highest average auction price, higher than the larger ones, and that had only dropped like 2%. So, of course, manufacturers are pushing bigger, bigger, bigger. But, you know, and frankly, when I was down at Commodity Classic in Houston, people were milling around it could have been the red exhibit, the blue, the green. My God, look at the size of that tractor. Look at the size of that combine. And then what they'd ask me is, who's going to buy that? Who's your second buyer? Who's your third buyer? That's a really valid question. So if you have tons of acres and you've got a smash, you know, that's another weird piece of the market is it almost pushes you to keep buying new, to keep under warranty, as these machines are very specialized and you just cannot have downtime. So it's where the problem is that there have been a whole group of farmers who have sort of their equipment game plan over the years was, well, I'll be the third buyer on whatever, that tractor, that planter, that combine. Well, they maybe not don't need that 84,000 pound tractor coming down the line in a few years. So that's hyper focused more competition back onto the older models that do fit what they need to do. And they've got comfortable paying more. And at that point it gets interesting, Andrew, because then people will say, well, machinery Pete, this is all inflation. Somewhat, but it's not all inflation. It's supply. It's in this case, you know, buyer wants, I want an older, simpler machine. Well, that's great, but 12 other people want the same thing, so the price is going to go up. Now, that's not inflation, that's demand. So it's an interesting market right now for sure.
You know, we've talked so many times before, and I know that you aren't necessarily in the prediction business, but you have been tracking this 34 years. I am curious, given where we appear to be headed with lower commodity prices, tighter margins, over time, do you see this thing beginning to cycle and get tighter and some of these prices soften up? But we just got done talking about older tractors and some older combines that are record highs. How do you see this moving forward?
Yeah, I think definitely we're going to soften. It's just, to me, a question of, you know, that drop we saw a decade ago in 14 and 15, 20 to 25%, 2 years, year over year in a row. That was the biggest drop I ever saw. And right now, people are assuming that this is already at that point, and it's not there yet. Again, for these reasons we've talked about, I think structurally the market is different. I think we're going to tiptoe toward that. But again, I think things are different, and it'll be fascinating to see. Like I read the other day, I think Deere just laid off 150 people at Ankeny. So there's also, you have to consider on the manufacturer level, and they're dancing to the shareholder tunes or whatever, and they want to keep stock price up. So they've gotten used to these such pricing power that they not even they've ever had before. You don't want to give that up. So more tightly controlling production, you'd certainly expect to see more of that. Again, I think dealers are going to be very proactive because they all remember 10 years ago, they did not like the position they were in that. They had way too many 24-row planters, way too many combines, way too many sprayers. So I think you're going to see, even if the Fed doesn't drop interest rates down here, so you're going to see dealers offer more low interest rate deals on combines. We are seeing the supply of high horse tractors finally beginning to go up to the point where it might start to dent auction prices. So watching that closely. But yeah, I think 2024 to me is just going to be the year of recalibration with used values.
In the time we have left, is there any segment of the market maybe we haven't touched on yet, whether it's super hot or seems to be softening up the most or any other things that have perked your interest here lately?
Well, I think skid steers and some of the heavy equipment to me, Andrew, is, which of course has a big bleed over into the ag sector, your mini excavators, your dozers. To me, that sector has been very strong, hard cash auction pricing. I know I was speaking in Wisconsin a while ago when I came out of there and a guy said, "Hey, Machinery Pete, I got to talk to you about skid steers." And I said, "Well, are you looking to buy it?" He goes, "Well, I just bought one." And I said, "Well, congratulations. What did you get?" He said, "Well, I bought a new Kubota." And I said, "Oh, well, that's a great Kubota's, great brand." And he said, "Well, I'd been looking for used, and God, the prices were so high. And then I just finally figured, well, my bigger deal for me is to buy new." So, that kind of jives with what we've been seeing on the auction market strength there. I think the home building probably will rebound a little bit in the summer, fall months here. So that probably keeps some of this equipment in demand. So keeping an eye on that. And then on the soft side, gosh, I guess combines are kind of the one I'm really watching there. Again, that 4 to 7 year old range, which actually I mentioned that depreciation rate there about 20%. If you are looking for a buy, and I've been saying this for a while now, that age gap is over my 34 years has kind of always been the sweet spot, that 4 to 7 year old range. Because really, once anything gets to be out to be 10 years old and in good condition, that's when collectively everybody goes, "Oh, that's what I want," because the price gap between the new one is so high. So now, buy it when it's 6, 7 years old and it's started to depreciate. And then if it's a nice one, take good care of it. Pretty soon you're going to have a 10-year-old machine that more people want. So if I was buying, I try to work that into my strategy, I guess, if you're buying used.
Right. Greg, I always appreciate the time. Always good to visit. And when we catch up next time, we'll see where this thing is at that point, I guess.
Yeah, always great to visit with you, my friend.
It's always good to visit with Machine Repeat. And remember, you can follow him at machinerepeat.com. Thanks for joining me on this week's show. As always, you can follow Farming the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farming the Countryside or American Countryside. And you can hear these shows in a variety of ways at farmingthecountryside.com, on many local radio stations, or your favorite podcast platform. If you miss one of our shows, just use those platforms to go back and check out other shows of interest as well. Planting season is underway on our farm, and I know it is in many other locations across the country. We'll see what this spring weather brings and if we can get a crop up, or if winter weather comes back and we happen to get a freeze. I hope wherever you are, you're having a good spring season. I appreciate you joining me. I'm Andrew McCray. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to tryprofarmer.com for your free trial today.